Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew. Presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Bring it up, Grant. Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Nick Costos, our crew, and you. The Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. We will close the show later this hour with all our bets for tonight in the world of sports, including Anthony Edwards potentially returning for the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's coming up at the end of the show. We will recap the weekend that was in Major League Baseball, opening weekend. We'll get into ABS, and I will tell everybody the star A-list athlete I don't want to see ever again. That's coming up about 20 minutes from now. But joining us right now, to kick off the Power Hour on this Monday, the coach, Matt McCall of NBC Sports, The Field of 68, and CBS, on Twitter, at Coach Matt McCall. Coach, great to talk to you again. Nick Costos on Westwood One. How's it going, my friend?
Nick, it's going great, man. It's Monday of Final Four week. We know the coaching convention's getting ready to get cranked up out there in Indianapolis. We will be on Radio Row. We will be ready to roll with my man, Dallin Cuff. We got four fantastic teams. It's time. It's Final Four week. Let's go.
Let's do it. And before, Coach, we flip the page on the Elite Eight and start talking about the matchups coming up on Saturday and what we can expect in Indianapolis, I need to get your perspective as someone who coached at the highest level. What you're thinking in the waning moments of Duke UConn as Caden Boozer turns the ball. And look, he's 18 years old, and he obviously stood up afterwards and took his medicine and answered every question, and he did great. But Duke collapses at the end of the game. My words, not yours, and maybe you agree. We saw it happen last year again against Houston. What was Coach McCall thinking watching the end of the game yesterday with Duke and UConn?
Well, I thought as UConn started to make the run, that would that human nature element of the fear of what happened last year come into Coach Shire's head. And it's hard when you're a young head coach and this is your first head coaching opportunity, and he's done a remarkable job. I mean, an absolutely remarkable job. But your assistant coaches, everyone that was a part of that program, is there a, oh no, here we go again? And I kind of felt like that as it was unfolding, oh no, here we go again. And that's a bad way to think. I mean, sports psychologists will tell you, you can't do that. You got to stay in the moment. But that's kind of how I was feeling watching it unfold. Now, I'll also say this. You have to give UConn an enormous amount of credit for executing to perfection those last couple of possessions, starting with the trap defensively. I mean, UConn was missing free throws. They were giving Duke every single opportunity to close the game out. But let's start with the trap. And it was Braylon Mullins. It was Silas Demery closing down that trap on Caden Boozer to have high hands, foot-to-foot trap situation, get a deflection, and then advance the ball up to one of the biggest winners in the history of UConn's program when you think about it. And Alex Caravan, to then have him make the right play and not force a shot up, to give it back to Mullins and let that shot fly. There was a lot that had to go right for UConn, and they executed it to perfection. I do think that it speaks to the character of the, you know, Caden to show up, to answer questions, not be short with his answers after the game. That's a tribute to the parents of his and how he was raised and the coaches that he's been around. But what a job by UConn executing coming down the stretch.
Coach, there's no question about it. It is an amazing job by UConn. But also, you know, like I need to go back to it, like the John Shire point here. And just so you know, because I said this earlier on the show, I need to provide this for context, right? What I said is, if John Shire is going to coach at Duke for another 15, 20 years, I don't know if that's going to be the case, but let's just say that happens. I think he's going to win a national championship. Like, maybe he'll win two. And we've seen this with many coaches over the years, right? They can't win the big one until they do. So none of what I'm about to say is to bury John Shire or say he's a bad coach or that he can never win a championship. My sense is that he'll probably win one over the course of his time at Durham. But with that being said, Coach, you know, I didn't play, I didn't coach, like you did, right? I watched last year in the Final Four Saturday against Houston where Duke's the more talented team, and they somehow managed to lose that game. Less than 365 days later, the same thing plays out against Connecticut. It's not an insult to UConn. Duke's more talented than UConn and blows the 19-point lead that it had in the first half. So I'm watching it as someone that gets paid to talk about sports for a living, right? And I'm being honest. I'm blaming the coach here. Like, yes, the players are at fault also, but like those players weren't really playing against Houston last year. The constant is John Shire. Is that fair or unfair? And do you place the blame at the feet of John Shire as well, even if we both acknowledge that he's still a really good coach?
Yeah, I think John Shire is placing the blame on himself. So I would say that when you hear his press conference and the things that he was saying after the game, I don't think any of us have to place blame on him. I think that's exactly what he's doing. And you see, look, we have to keep things in perspective because we know it's Duke. We know what the expectations are. We know the expectations are national championships. But let me ask you this. If you're a North Carolina fan, would you take the last 4 years or 5 years, whatever it's been of the John Shire era, or the last 4 or 5 years of the Hubert Davis era, 10 times out of 10 and twice on Sunday, you're taking John Shire. And the execution coming down the stretch, they were playing to hope the clock went out instead of going to take the game. And that's exactly what Caden Boozer said when he was being interviewed. We lost our aggressiveness. We lost that in that second half. Is that partial coaching? Absolutely. Your messaging, and we weren't in any timeouts, neither was a microphone, has to be, guys, we want to play this game. We want to continue to put time on the clock, because we're enjoying being a part of this moment, being a part of this game. So, but I would go back to it again. The job that he's done, remarkable. He's going to win a national championship. They lost 3 games this season, all by one possession. I mean, what a season. So I think, to your point, he will win one. He will be looking himself in the mirror. There's no question about it. But take nothing away from what UConn did to close that game out, because a lot had to go right. And they had to be perfect those last two possessions, the steal and the three, and they were perfect.
And I said it at the start of the show, right? It's you know, Caravan and Mullins don't make a three combined until the final minute. Caravan makes his, then Mullins makes his. You referenced it, Caravan with the pass to Mullins. Tarris Reed was like Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in this game. It was an incredible comeback by the UConn Huskies. And, you know, Coach, I said earlier, I think Danny Hurley's the best coach in the sport. You know, 3 Final Fours in 4 years, going for his third national title in 4 years. Like, you can kind of give your opinion if you'd like on is Hurley the best coach in the sport or not. But I'm also curious, as a coach yourself, what impresses you the most when you watch a Danny Hurley coached UConn team?
I mean, I think the culture that he's created, the way that he holds everybody accountable within his program. And it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. I mean, Braylon Mullins could have gone anywhere, especially in the state of Indiana. I'm sure he could have gone to IU. I'm sure he could have gone to Purdue. I'm sure he could have gone to surrounding schools, Illinois, whatever it may be. He could have gone anywhere in the country. He wanted to be coached like Danny Hurley coaches you. And that's the culture that he has created within that program. I look at his assistant coaches. I look at, you know, Coach Kamani Young, who's been with him since he took the UConn job. I look at Luke Murray, who just took the Boston College job. Luke Murray is prepared to take the Boston College job because of how Coach Hurley held him accountable the last 8 or 9 years. So I'm with you. I think that, you know, if he's not the best, he's one of the best. I think his biggest rival may have something to say with that over there in Queens and St. John's. But the fact that this team is back in the Final Four 3 out of 4 years, that's not easy to do. And yes, Alex Caravan has been there. Solo Ball has been there. But there's been a lot of turnover. He's lost a number of guys to the NBA. And 3 out of 4 years in the Final Four, that's remarkable because that does not happen.
You better you bet on this Monday. Nick Costos and you on Westwood One Sports, presented by BetMGM. Our guest, the coach, Matt McCall, NBC Sports, the Field of 68, SiriusXM, and CBS, on Twitter at Coach Matt McCall. I hate to kind of lump the other three regional finals this weekend together, but I mean, Arizona-Purdue was a fun game for the first 20 minutes, and then the freight train rolled over the Boilermakers in the second half. Did anything stand out that we can take into Final Four Saturday? And we'll get your thoughts on both those games in a second, but Illinois over Iowa, Arizona with the great second half to beat Purdue, and then Michigan just vaporizing Tennessee in the Midwest final. Anything from those three games stand out to you, Coach, from this weekend?
The only thing that stands out, let's just start on the other side of the bracket from UConn. Arizona and Michigan have been the two best teams in the country from the jump. I wouldn't say from the jump, but for the majority of the season. I know Duke was the number one overall seed, but Duke also didn't play in the Big 12 and they didn't play in the Big 10. And those two conferences are much better than the ACC when you look at the leagues from top to bottom. So I think that jumps out. Hey, they showed that they're the two best teams in this field. They played like it yesterday. I said it before the game, for Purdue to win, they were going to have to be perfect. They were perfect in the first half, and then Arizona completely took over in the second half. Tennessee had zero chance from the jump. Yaxel Lindenborg, Dusty May, they made that known. This is our game. We're going to the Final Four. You know, great season, Tennessee. Great season, Rick Barnes. But you got no shot in this one, and that's the way that they played. Illinois is the one
for
me
that's
very, 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 very intriguing. And the reason I say that is when the bracket came out, I was one that was saying, if somebody's going to beat the Florida Gators in that region, no, did I ever think Iowa was going to win that game. But I felt like because of the matchup, because of the positional size, I felt like Illinois is a team that could beat Florida because they could match up with them physically. And how they guard and how they guard pick and rolls and how they play drop coverage, they force you to take long two-point jump shots. And that's exactly what they've done all tournament. Couple that with one of the best freshmen in the country that I still don't think, even after that performance, people are talking enough about in Wagler. I mean, he is unbelievable. Remember this. Boswell missed some time. He missed some time with an injury, and he was playing like one of the best players in the Big Ten. Now they've got him back. He was in there in crunch time defensively in that win the other night. With all the size that they have, with a superstar freshman in Wagler, this is the team that I said could win that region, but also I would not be shocked if they're cutting the Nets down. I'm not saying I'm picking them, but I'm just saying that everyone wants to talk about Michigan, Arizona, that's the national championship game. No. You can't count out those other two teams. One of the teams has won 2 out of the last 3 national championships, and the other team has a roster and a superstar freshman that has positional size, length, and they defend at a high, high level. And oh, by the way, a kid named Stojakovic, whose dad was one of the best three-point shooters in the history of the NBA, he's not that. He's the guy that puts pressure on the paint. They make a ton of threes, and he's a guy that gets in the lane, finishes at the rim. Watch out for Illinois.
I'll tell you what, Coach. I was one of those voices saying Michigan, Arizona, the national championship game on Saturday night. You made that. You made me think a little bit there that maybe Illinois or UConn could give them a game, but maybe could win the next. I won't pick it, but you did make me think a little bit about that. All right, I asked this question to preface another question. Have you totally okay if the answer is no? Have you seen the betting line for Illinois UConn yet? The first game on Saturday. Do you know what the point spread is or no?
I think both point spreads are 1.5. Am I right on that?
Yeah, yeah. So Illinois got back. I was just curious if you had seen that Illinois was favored against UConn. Because what I said this earlier, I think that a lot of people would see you like see what UConn did, the comeback against Duke, and think that UConn would be favored in the game. Illinois is actually a small favorite in the game now, Coach. I think Illinois is going to win. I don't want to say like totally handily or like embarrass UConn, but I think Illinois might win a little comfortably. I think Illinois is better than UConn. I think they can outscore UConn in this game. Am I being disrespectful to the Huskies? What is your early in the week handicap coming up of Illinois and UConn?
Listen, this one, I agree with the spread. I think it's going to be a great college basketball game. I think it's going to go back and forth. If I was giving an edge, it would just be to UConn just because of Coach Hurley. And not that, you know, Brad Underwood's not a phenomenal coach, but Coach Hurley, having been there before in that moment, in that game, with guys on his team that have been there before, Solo Ball, Alex Caravan, I don't think the talent gap is big enough. You see what Reed did yesterday in that game, dominating the front court. I don't think there's a big enough gap talent-wise to say, hey, Illinois is the favorite or UConn's the favorite. I think it comes down to one simple thing, the fact that UConn's been there before with their coach, with their coaching staff, and with players on that roster.
So you'll take UConn in a close game over Illinois, Coach, at this UConn point, at least early in the week?
Yep.
All right, let's go to the nightcap. And look, like, we love college basketball. This is as good as it gets. And you said it earlier, right? Even if, you know, Duke was awesome at points this season and Florida came on, you know, towards the end of the year, these have really been by and large the two best teams all season, right? With Arizona and Michigan in the nightcap. Michigan, the slightest of slight favorites, about a 1-point favorite against Arizona. Who does Coach Matt McCall like, Arizona v. Michigan, and why on Saturday night?
Man, you're putting me, now you got me, because I had Arizona winning at all. Now you're putting me in a very, very difficult spot in terms of this one. Coming out of yesterday, I have to give the slight edge to Michigan. The way that they handled those Tennessee Volunteers was truly remarkable. We saw Arizona struggle a little bit in the first half against Purdue. Obviously turned it around and found a way to win the game. But if I'm going to give, much like the first game, I will give a slight edge to the Wolverines. Just based on the performance yesterday, I've seen Michigan live this season. I have not seen Arizona live. I know how big Arizona is. I know the size is going to match up on both sides of the basketball. But I just think watching Michigan play, watching the unselfishness that team plays with, how they root and cheer for each other, you would think this team has been together for 3 or 4 years, when in fact they've only been together one. Give me a slight edge to Michigan.
Coach, my final question, and this may sound like a strange question because, like, you've given the edge to UConn, right, in the game against Illinois, given, like, they all the winning they've done and what Danny Hurley's been able to accomplish. My opinion would be, I think Illinois has a higher ceiling, even if UConn has a higher floor, right? But I think Illinois has a higher ceiling. So for me, I would say that if one of those two teams is going to beat either Arizona or Michigan, I personally would give the edge to the Illini. Like, who could win the national title next Monday night? I think it would be Illinois over UConn. But you coached at the highest level, and I didn't. I know you like UConn slightly in the game against Illinois, but you said earlier, like, UConn or Illinois could win the title. Which one of those two teams in a title game, not against each other, but next Monday night, would have a better chance of beating either Arizona or Michigan? UConn or Illinois?
I'll go back to the same point. It has to be UConn because they've been there before. That is the only reason. These four teams are here for a reason. This is not Cinderella. This is not, you know, some team that got hot at the right time. These four teams are here for a reason. There were times throughout the course of this season we thought UConn was in the same category as Michigan and Arizona. Until they lost to St. John's, coming down the stretch in the tournament, until they lost to Marquette, who, yes, struggled throughout this season, we were putting them as a possible one seed. Until they lost to Marquette, that's when Florida slid into that one seed number. So just up, we have to keep in perspective where this team was 3 weeks ago, running St. John's out of the building at that point in time. So if you want me to give an edge of one of those two teams I would give it to UConn, and I would say that would be the team that can cut the nets down from that side of the bracket because of where they've been, and we sometimes forget where they were just a short time ago.
Coach, you are such a stud. I had a huge smile on my face this entire conversation. You got me even more excited for the Final Four than I already was. And that excitement, I feel like, was probably honestly like a 10 out of 10. Now it might be like a 10 and a half out of 10. It's really good. You are awesome. Enjoy Indianapolis. Safe travels. For my sake and for the sake of my bank account, I hope you're wrong with your thoughts on the two games, but we shall see. Enjoy, and we'll catch up with you down the line.
Sounds good, guys. Anytime.
Matt McCall joining us here on You Better, You Bet. Am I looking past UConn? Am I disrespecting Danny Hurley and the Huskies? This is the question I ask myself at this moment in time. And when my head hits the pillow tonight to go to sleep, I will probably be thinking the same thing. Coach McCall made an excellent, excellent point, right? Not that he has to be right, but an excellent point. It's the experience of UConn, the heart of a champion. And he's not wrong that UConn, you know, before UConn like lost a couple games and Florida went on its run, UConn was in that grouping of best teams in the country, likely to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament. He's right about that. I will still default back to, I think Illinois' upside is higher. And I think if Illinois plays an A-plus game, like if Illinois and UConn both play A-plus games on Saturday night, I think Illinois wins. And that's what I'll go back to. So I'll take the Illini over UConn. But man, then 1.5 point spreads in both games. This is going to be awesome. We'll take a break, and on the other side, we will talk about the weekend that was in Major League Baseball and the advent of ABS. We have some interesting quotes this morning coming out of the NFL league meetings in Phoenix, including what we have just heard from Rams head coach Sean McVay. We'll bring that to you on the other side. And I will tell everybody, the star athlete, the A-list athlete, I want to go away. 310-840-4910, youtube.com/@thecostos. We are back right after this.
Heating up, and so is the sports calendar. We are your home of the Final Four, the Masters, and the NFL Draft, taking you inside the sports you care about. Westwood One Sports.
In the game of life, every point matters, especially when it comes to your loved ones. Score big for your family this March by securing life insurance with SelectQuote. Their team of experienced, licensed insurance agents can help you find the right policy at the right price in just minutes. I'm 40, and my $500,000 policy was only $18 a month. My wife's also 40, and her $500,000 policy was only $16 a month. Plus, with their same-day coverage, there was no medical exam required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. Whether you need a $100,000 policy or a $10 million policy, SelectQuote can help you score big on affordable coverage. Don't let the clock run out on your chance to protect your family's future.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-840-3030. That's 1-800-840-3030. Or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-840-3030.
Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
Download to see if you qualify. Not all customers will qualify. Transfer fees may apply. No Albert subscription required. Albert is not a bank. Albert instant loans are issued by Finwise Bank. Member FDIC. Not an actual client. Terms apply.
Kylie, what's wrong?
I just got hit with a car repair bill. I'm behind on rent. And I feel like I can never save any money.
Have you tried the Albert app? Albert is your financial assistant, helping you find ways to save and create custom budgets to actually grow your money. Plus, you can get up to $10,000 for big expenses or advance up to $1,000 fast when you need cash right away.
Albert can get me up to $10,000?
Exactly. Albert spots you in a pinch and helps you grow your money in the long run.
I'm downloading Albert right now.
Download the Albert app and use promo code GO to borrow up to $10,000 for whatever you need. The Albert app helps you budget better and save more money so you reach your financial goals faster. Download the Albert app right now and use promo code GO to borrow up to $10,000. Use code GO.
Yeah, everything, nothing's changed there. AJ's an Eagle. Nothing's changed from the last time I spoke to you guys. Yeah, that's where we are.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and the crew, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
This segment on You Better You Bet, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto insurance from Progressive. Get a fast quote at ProgressiveCommercial.com. That the voice of Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni, mirroring the company line issued last night on Sunday night by GM Howie Roseman as it concerns star receiver A.J. Brown. I will continue to say, I don't believe you. I don't believe Sirianni. I don't believe Howie Roseman. It's all lining up. Common sense, reporting, everything for A.J. Brown to get dealt by the Eagles. And I anticipate that happening this offseason. We had some interesting quotes this morning from Los Angeles Rams head coach Sean McVay at the league meetings in Phoenix. He told Kay Adams of Up and Adams on FanDuel TV that there is a, quote, 0% chance that the Cleveland Browns projected rule change where you can trade draft picks, first-round picks, up to 5 years out. The current NFL rule is 3 years out, so like you can't trade your first-round pick. It's 2026. You can't trade your first-round pick in 2030 right now, but you can trade your first-round pick in 2029. The Browns wanted to take it from 3 to 5 years. I told you last week, a couple weeks ago on the show, I hate this because to me, this is going to be desperate teams with desperate GMs that are dying to hold on to their jobs, mortgaging a future that they might not be around to see to save their own asses in the present. So I like it that the NFL's not going to run that through. Sean McVay saying, and look, he can be wrong, but McVay saying 0% chance that the Browns rule proposal goes through and that the trades will remain at 3 years out. McVay also telling reporters, and this had been reported a little bit, but McVay just confirmed it, that Davante Adams, 33-year-old Rams receiver, like future Hall of Famer, that Davante Adams was in trade talks, that the Rams had peddled Davante Adams in trade talks with teams. Now, we don't know what teams, presumably not the Chiefs, right? Because the Rams obviously swung the deal for Trent McDuffie. I'm guessing Davante Adams was not going to be part of that deal. Who knows? But we're like, let's connect the dots here, right? Jordan Rodrigue and Diana Russini reported, I don't know if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, but I referenced it earlier in the show, right? For The Athletic, that the Rams were in on A.J. Brown. Doesn't it make sense that Davante Adams would go to the Eagles in that trade? If Adams was floated, and Sean McVay saying that he was, and that McVay directly spoke to Davante Adams and said to Davante Adams, like, it's important to let the player know what's happening. I am not reporting this. I can't confirm it. I'm speculating. I can be wrong. But don't you think what I'm saying makes sense? That if Davante Adams is in trade talks, and we know that the Rams have been in on A.J. Brown, doesn't that make sense? To replace A.J. Brown, who could be a Hall of Famer one day, with a guy that's going to the Hall of Fame in Davante Adams, who probably would have, and look, Devontae's been known to get pissed at points, like the case in point Jimmy Garoppolo in his time with the Raiders. But you know what? Like, really? Davante Adams with Jalen Hurts? We don't think this could work? I really think A.J. Brown's going to be on his way out. And I think the Rams might not be done with their wheeling and dealing. Remember, because of the trade on draft night last year, the first round of the draft with Atlanta for James Pierce, who may never play in the NFL again, the Rams have the 13th overall pick in the draft. And then remember what the Rams' credo has been for quite some time as it regards draft picks. F dem picks. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they did just that. We shall see. We're going to get so much NFL news this week. Lions head coach Dan Campbell saying that the team may move Penei Sewell from right tackle to left tackle. My guess is Taylor Decker's going to come back to Detroit and play left tackle for less money. But that's something that's been bandied about, Sewell moving from right to left. Detroit's got some work to do, both on the offensive line and most notably at edge rusher. We've talked about that, where it's Aiden Hutchinson and then basically no one rushing the passer for the Detroit Lions. All right, couple other notes for us to get to from the world of sports this weekend. Opening weekend of the Major League Baseball season is in the books. And the biggest story, you can make the argument that it should be the resurgence of Mike Trout, who is now hitting .462 through four games for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of North America, of planet Earth, of the Milky Way galaxy. But alas, we're four games into the season. We'd love to see Mike Trout keep it up. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. We could, and part of me wants to do this as a Yankee fan, talk about Cam Schlittler dominating the San Francisco Giants on Friday night. And what happens if Cam Schlittler is the ace that he looked like on Friday night and against the Red Sox in the postseason, and what that means for the Yankees when Gerrit Cole comes back and if Max Fried stays healthy heading into October? We could talk about Tony Vitello, the manager of the San Francisco Giants, giving like rah-rah college speeches. They're 0-3. Doesn't feel great. It's early, but just saying. We could talk about all the young players in baseball, like the new additions in the Major League Baseball season that are balling out. Murakami for the White Sox, who's hilarious. He hits a homer in each of his first three games. Also, the White Sox are 0-3. Chase DeLauder, Kevin McGonigal, Weatherholt, and others. Carson Bench. We're early in the season, as early as it gets. This is hyperbolic. If this keeps up, it might not. If it does, we are literally looking at one of the best rookie classes in the history of Major League Baseball. It's early. It might not happen. But I want to just set that as a possibility and how fun and how exciting that is for this Major League Baseball season. But no, the real big story coming out of opening weekend in Major League Baseball, ABS, where we are seeing balls and strikes challenged a ton and generally the umpire being proven to be wrong. Most notably in the Reds-Red Sox game this weekend, where on back-to-back pitches, Eugenio Suarez challenges two horrific C.B. Buckner calls and is proven right on both of them. And the crowd at the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, this is like the loudest anyone cheered in Cincinnati since, like, you know, and I know the game was in Arrowhead, since the Bengals beat the Chiefs in the 2021 AFC Championship game. The crowd went absolutely ballistic for Buckner being wrong on both of those calls. Now, C.B. Buckner is widely considered to be, right, wrong, or indifferent, I think it's right, one of the worst umpires in Major League Baseball. And has like a terrible reputation for years. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I don't know him personally, but not the best umpire. I love ABS. I think this is so great. It adds like this extra layer of fun and suspense to the proceedings. And as the season goes on, we are going to see it be employed even more strategically than it is now. Like, there was a sequence in a Cubs game over the weekend with Nico Hoerner, right, where he probably should have challenged a ball that would have loaded the bases, and he doesn't, and then he ends up grounding into a double play afterwards. Just as an example, right, where people are asking, like, do you want to hold it for the very end of the game? When do you employ the challenge, right? I think it's so interesting. And I think will be a very entertaining subplot to what I think could be one of the best MLB regular seasons we've had in a long time. And we might have to savor it, because who knows what's going to happen with a potential work stoppage following the year. You better, you bet on this Monday. Nick Costos and you on Westwood One Sports. Last note for this segment. So we go off the air on Friday at noon Eastern. And later in the day on Friday, in the afternoon, Tiger Woods is arrested on suspicion of DUI. Driving his Land Rover in Florida at a high speed, tries to pass a truck, clips the back of the truck, and his car flips. I love in the news article that it basically is written, Tiger, like, uninjured, climbed out of the window to safety. If there were a draft, if you had to draft human beings most adept at handling a situation where their car flips, is Tiger Woods the first overall pick? How many times has it happened already with Tiger Woods? Right? How many times has it happened? Think of the person that's best at whatever it is in your life that you know. Tiger Woods surviving this and just walking out of the window. He's probably got his old hat. He's probably like upside down. Like, yeah, I know what to do right now. I've done this before. No big deal. No big deal. So Tiger is not under the influence of alcohol, but, you know, refuses a test and is arrested as a result, with the thought being that he may be impaired by another substance. So in 2017, Tiger Woods is found asleep in his car, right? With damage to the car. Not great. 2021, car crash where his leg gets severely injured. Car flips over. Here we are now in 2026, and it's the same story with this dude. Same story. Now, this is a complex thing, right? Addiction is a son of a bitch. And I hope and pray, as someone who has dealt with addiction in his family, with loved ones, and I have seen firsthand what addiction can do to a family, to a group of people, I want Tiger Woods to get well. I also don't even mean this to insinuate that he's like a hopeless, I don't know. But you read some of the quotes anonymously given to outlets like TMZ by friends of Tiger Woods. They all seem to be pretty worried about him. And there's a pattern of behavior here. I want him to get well. I want him to get healthy. And it's not just because he's arguably the greatest golfer of all time and has thrilled us with moments over the last 30 years. That's not the reason. It's because he's a human being. And he's got a family. And he's got kids. And he has people that depend on him and look up to him and care about him. Not just fans. Family. Loved ones. I want him to get well. I want him to do better. But until that happens, let's just call a spade a spade. This dude is a menace to society. He's a menace. He keeps getting messed up and getting behind the wheel and threatening not only his life, but more importantly, and I understand, one of the greatest golfers of all time, one of the greatest athletes of all time. When you get behind the wheel, you're threatening the lives of others, and in those moments, their lives are worth more than yours because you're the one putting their lives in harm's way. And I'll tell you, you don't have to be a parent to fully grasp what I'm saying and understand it. I would have felt this way before my daughter was born. But the thought of people like Tiger Woods being out there who repeatedly get behind the wheel impaired makes me sick to my stomach. He should be in jail. And I'm not saying that to pile on him, right? To be a jerk. It's nothing to do with him as a golfer. But if you can't follow the rules of society and you're going to put your life in jeopardy and the lives of others in jeopardy because you can't control yourself, sorry, we can feel bad and have empathy for him, which I do. But we can also say, no, enough, go away. He's 50 years old. Grow up. Like, I'm sorry that your body's failed you and you can't compete at the highest level. And maybe you can't play at Augusta National. I'm sorry. Boo hoo. Go count your money. Wipe your tears with $100 bills. Grow up, 50 years old. 50. Getting behind the wheel messed up. Enough. At what point do we stop coddling athletes and celebrities in situations like this? I don't care what he's done in his career. Drive sober. Hire a driver. There's no excuse for it, and I don't want to hear it. Go away. Go away. And get well while you're away. But I don't want to see him until then. Our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, is with us. Hello, Bill. How are we doing on this Monday morning?
Quite the transition.
How's it going?
It's going okay.
Let's attempt, Bill, to answer the trivia question of the day today. What do you have for us here? You stumped us a couple times at the end of the week last week.
All right. So we got today where we Obviously, Nick, you started the show talking about Duke blowing that 15-point lead at halftime to UConn and losing the way they did. Of course, Duke the year before, 6-point lead at halftime to Houston, blew that one. Sorry, Tyler Morales. But they also blew a 6-point lead to NC State in the Elite Eight the year before that. Duke becomes the second team in the history of the tournament to blow halftime leads of 6 or more in 3 consecutive tournaments to get eliminated. Who was the first? And you don't have to go back too far.
Okay. Oh, man, that's a good question. I can't even, like, fathom an answer, I don't think, to this right now. Good thing we have a 5-minute break where we'll all think about it. All right, we'll take this break. We'll wrap the show with all our bets for tonight, and we will attempt to answer the trivia question from Bill Zimmerman, which is 3 straight years, a team getting bounced in the NCAA tournament, blowing a halftime lead of at least 6 points. I have that correct?
You have that correct. That is correct.
We will, as Bill would say, Bill loves to use the word noodle. I thought I hated it, but like I guess I like it because I'm using it now. We will noodle on this during the break and attempt to answer the question and give you all our bets for tonight. Coming up next, here, as we wrap up the Monday edition of the show on Westwood One Sports.
The NFL draft is less than a month away, and we will take you behind the curtain, literally live from Pittsburgh for the 2026 draft with exclusive interviews of your team's picks from your home of the NFL, Westwood One Sports.
Empowered. Ellie here is getting the sleeve she's always dreamed of. She worked with Empower and planned for her next move, so she got good at money. Now she can be a little bad. Oh, by the way, you spelled journey wrong. No worries. She can afford the cover-up, too. Ooh, check out my tat. It says, invest well, live a little. Start today at empower.com.
Clones, listen up. Not all beef jerky is the same. In fact, there are major differences in quality from one brand to the next. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. Chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings. Every bite is better for you and higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, and candy. Old Trapper, in the Clearview bag, is the world's finest jerky, made with only the best ingredients. So ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
Free trial of 7 days. If customer does not cancel prior to the end of a trial period, fees will apply.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation, so customers get faster responses. And Quo's AI assistant summarizes your calls and responds to customers 24/7, so you never miss a lead or opportunity. All this starts at just $15 a month. That's basically 2 coffees. You can even keep your current business phone number. Find out why 90,000 businesses trust Quo. No missed calls. No missed customers. Try Quo for free at Quo.com/sports. That's Quo.com/sports to try Quo free. Quo.org.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
All right, we want everybody to log into the BetMGM app to receive your Any Sport Parlay Boost token. To use the Parlay Boost token, add a parlay wager made up of any sport wagers to your bet slip and activate the token. If you win your wager that was made with the token, you'll receive extra winnings. Download the BetMGM app today. All right, so we've been trying to figure out the answer to this question during the break, which is, you know, Duke, 3 consecutive NCAA tournament losses, blowing a halftime lead of 6 points or more. Who was the last team and coach to have that happen? So Tyler and I conferred during the break. Dan Turner chimed in as well. I think we want our first answer, Bill, and I have 3 written down here. Is it John Calipari in Kentucky?
It is not.
Okay. All right, so we're wrong on that one. I have 2 other guesses. Hubert Davis in North Carolina.
Also incorrect.
Sean Miller, Arizona will be the third guess.
And that is also incorrect.
All right. I hate getting stumped. I would like a hint, please.
The coach, like I said, is no longer at the program where this happened. It happened very recently. And it's a coach we talked about quite a bit for a couple weeks on this show.
Oh, it's Bruce Pearl?
It is Bruce Pearl. It is Auburn. 2023 to 2025. They blew a 10-point halftime lead to Houston, 7 to Yale, and 8 to Florida in 23, 24, and 2025.
Can we talk about that Florida game last year? Has there ever been a more aggravating day of betting college basketball than Final Four Saturday last year? I like how Bill always throws in like all the people that lost money on Duke last year against Houston, like Tyler. What about me? What about Raven? I guess it was brutal for everybody. I just terrible. Another great trivia question from our EP, Bill Zimmerman. Bill is our executive producer. Tyler is our technical director. Thanks to Grant Leader in for the under the weather, Kenny Henderson. Grant Leader doing an awesome job running the board. Dan Turner, Mike Brown, our video producers. Thanks to our guests, Matt McCall and Brad Evans. Bleck and Abdallah coming up next on Westwood One Sports. All right, let's get to our bets for tonight, which means we need our friend Grant to drop the dope ass beat. Tyler has informed me he has a baseball bet for tonight. Tyler, what do you have for tonight in baseball? And do you have early thoughts on Final Four Saturday?
Yes, for baseball. I like the over in the Twins-Royals game. That game's at like 4:30. the Royals changed their outfield dimensions, and the wind's blowing out too. And so it was a tough place to hit home runs. So I think this is their first game season opener at this new stadium. So I think they're going to score a ton of runs. Pitchers are awful. It's Bubich and Simeon Woods Richardson. It's not great. So I like the over 9.5. And in terms of the Final Four, I think that UConn collapses more on Duke than it was on UConn. I like Illinois, and then I like Arizona to beat Michigan, and Arizona-Illinois national championship with Arizona winning. I'm staying true to what I said before the tournament.
Is there Yeah, I guess like it could be like if UConn and Michigan both went on Saturday, that's going to be not great. That would be
awful.
It would not be as bad as last year. I hope.
No,
for like
no,
everybody's
that's
sake.
The worst moment of my life. That was the worst moment of my life. It was Duke
like,
losing.
Worst moment of your sports life or worst moment of your life, period?
No, it's my life. Like, my friends will bring it up, and then I just go to them like, how about I bring up the worst moment of your life, too? Like, that's what they do. Every time someone brings it up, it's like, it's awful.
I have to be honest, Tyler. You have lived a great life if that's the worst moment of your life. That's a good life from our friend Tyler Morales. It was bad. It's the worst moment of your life. Maybe not for me, but that means Tyler's lived a good life. All right. I have a what-if scenario for everyone in the NBA tonight. Anthony Edwards hasn't played in over 2 weeks for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He is listed as questionable tonight as the Wolves are at the Dallas Mavericks. If Anthony Edwards plays, we will bet the Dallas Mavericks. But we need to wait to make sure Anthony Edwards is playing, fade the team with the star player back for the first game. So it's Dallas, but we need Anthony Edwards to play for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I like the Sixers to get a win in Miami. It feels like a square bet. Maybe it is, but I will take the Philadelphia 76ers. And as a Yankee fan, I think they're probably going to lose tonight on the road in Seattle against the Mariners with Luis Castillo pitching for Seattle. Maybe I'll tail Tyler on the over he just gave us as well. I'd like to bet against the San Francisco Giants, but I don't know if I love Walker Buehler starting for the San Diego Padres. That does it for the Monday edition of You Better You Bet. I am off tomorrow, working Saturday. Carrington Harrison has you covered tomorrow on You Better You Bet. So until we meet again on Wednesday morning, I'm Nick Costos wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Bleck and Abdallah coming up next on Westwood One Sports.
This is Westwood One Sports.
It's game day. Are your moderate to severe Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keeping you from the action? Skyrizi, risankizumab Rizza, could help you get back to the game. Skyrizi is proven to help people feel significant symptom relief, achieve remission, and visibly improve damage of the intestinal lining. Skyrizi is a prescription injection medicine for adults. Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines. Liver problems leading to hospitalization may occur when treated for Crohn's or ulcerative colitis.
Control is everything to me.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis combined. Learn more at Skyrizi.com or 1-866-com
for restrictions and details.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN-FM HD2 New York and Odyssey.